Okay, 14 at the bottom, Ches on top, Perek Dalet, 6 times from the end of the page. Alter Rebbe was explaining at the beginning of Perek Dalet, after he explained the Perek Gimel, that the Neshama is composed of 10 levels, Seichel and Midas, and Alter Rebbe explained Chochma and Bina, and the 7 Midas and Das. In Perek Dalet, the Alter Rebbe explained as follows. Perek Dalet, page Ches. In addition to the 10 levels of the Neshama, Seichel and Midas, the neshama also has 3 garments. It's called levushim. Why are they called levushim? We learned because just like a person needs clothing to reveal themselves. How do you reveal the intellect and feelings of the neshama? Through garments, so to speak. What are the garments? Thought, speech, and action. And we learned a few weeks ago that if you have a feeling towards somebody, you love somebody, a whole day you're not thinking about them, you're working, you're doing other things, I mean, they're not in your mind. How do you reveal that feeling? So if you think about the person, it will reveal the love to yourself. If you speak about the person or to the person, it will reveal the love to the person. And if you give them a gift or write a note, that brings it into action. But that is the 3 things that reveal the midah. You have a feeling of, whether it's love, fear, any of the 7 midas. Or a person knows an intellectual concept. They know whatever it is. But they're not thinking about it. If they're not thinking about it, it's hidden. How do you reveal that intellectual concept, that seichel? So he says, by thinking about it, you reveal it to yourself. By speaking about it, you reveal it to somebody else. And by writing it down, then you reveal it into something else. So what are the garments? The garments are thought, speech, and action. But the Alter Rebbe explains that because we're talking about the neshama, the nefesh elokis, so we're talking about thoughts of Torah, speech of Torah, and action of Torah. Okay? But these are the garments of the 10 levels of the soul. So the Alter Rebbe says now like this, and this is a remarkable concept. Hine shleish levushim elu. These 3 garments of Torah mitzvisel, like you said, thought of Torah, speech of Torah, action of Torah. Avshin ikroim levushim lenefesh ruach neshama, even though they're called garments, which means they're inferior to the nefesh, because the garments are not as precious as the person, most of the time. Im kozen, nevertheless, gav of a godla mylosim lein ketz v'sof, they're infinitely greater, al mylos nefesh ruach neshama atzma, than the neshama itself. And the Alter Rebbe is saying over here that even though thought, speech, and action of thought of Torah, speech of Torah, action of Torah, meaning Torah, which is the garment of the soul, so even though it's only the garment of the soul, meaning secondary and inferior to the soul, the Alter Rebbe said the truth is, it's greater than the soul. How could it be greater than the soul? He says, Kamesha Kosa B'Zeh, like the Zeh says, Reise V'Kutche Brichu Kulachad, God and Torah are all one, Pirush, which means the Raisa Yichachmosi Ritzayin Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is the wisdom and will of Hashem. VaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvedu VaAtzmei, and God and His glory and His essence and His thought and everything is Kulachat, is all one, because God is the knower and the knowledge and everything else. So the Alter Rebbe says like this: Torah is one thing with Hashem. And because Torah is one thing with Hashem, like what are the garments? Thought, speech, and action of Torah, meaning Torah and mitzvahs. So because the garments are one thing with Hashem, because Hashem and Torah is all one, so therefore they're even greater than the neshama. That's what Alter Rebbe says. So the obvious question is, it can't be. Alter Rebbe is saying, why are the garments great? Because they're one thing with God. Right? Hashem and Torah is all one. And therefore they're greater than the neshama. The problem is, but in Perek Beis, the Alter Rebbe just got you saying that the neshama is a part of Hashem, because the neshama comes from Hashem's chokhmah, and Hashem and His chokhmah is all one, so the neshama is also a part of God. And here the Alter Rebbe is saying that Torah is greater than the neshama, because Torah is one thing with Hashem, and implying that neshama doesn't. So the question is, what is the Alter Rebbe saying over here? He's mamish contradicting himself from the second Perek to this Perek. But the truth is, it's not. Not only is it not a contradiction, but it's an essential explanation of a fundamental question that people ask. Many times you meet Jews in the street, they'll tell you, I don't need Torah mitzvahs. You know, me and God, we understand each other. Or a person can have a very basic question. Why do I need mitzvahs to bind me to Hashem? I have a neshama. I'm self-bound. My neshama is a part of Hashem. So I'm a part of Hashem. What do I need my mitzvahs for? Even without mitzvahs, I'm connected to Hashem. Like we know, a Jew that doesn't do mitzvahs is still a Jew. Like they're still a part of Hashem. So a Yid can ask a fundamental question, why in the world do I need mitzvahs? If I have a neshama and my neshama is a part of Hashem, I don't need anything else. And the question is even, to explain the question, so to speak, in the whole concept even more. We learned in the past, the Medrash says, there's one Medrash that says seven things were there before the world. Then the Medrash says, if you want to knock it down, the Medrash says, two things are before the world. Two things are before the world. Shnei Dvarim Kadma La'ilam. Torah and Jews. Because the Zohar says, Hiftako Be'eraisa Ubara Alma. Hashem looked into Torah. That's the Zohar expression. The Medrash uses the same thing, but in a different expression. The Medrash says, Torah is the blueprint of the world. How do you build a building? After the architect has the blueprints, so you look in the blueprints, the contractor looks into the blueprints, and he sees, it says here to do this, so he does that. So the Medrash says, Torah is the blueprints of the world. Or the Zohar uses the expression, Istako Be'eraisa, Hashem looked into Torah and created the world. So it's obvious, if Torah created the world, so then Torah is greater than the world. That's a given. Right? Because if Torah created the world, that means Torah is higher than the world. Another concept it says, Yisrael is greater than Torah. I mean, greater before the world. Why? Because the Medrash says, B'minim lach, which simply, meaning, with whom did God decide to create the world? B'nishmerseim shel tzaddikim, with the neshamas of tzaddikim. So without learning any chassidus, learning like a moron, the Medrash means that God had a board meeting. Literally means, with whom did God discuss creation of the world? With the neshamas of tzaddikim. Which means, obviously, if God discussed creation with the neshamas, then obviously they were there before the world. But the moronish, whatever the word is, the moron approach of that means that Hashem called a board meeting, and he had a board meeting and he discussed with the neshamas, should we create the world? And they voted, and the neshamas voted that they should create a world, and therefore Hashem created the world, which is the most stupidest thing anybody can think. So Chassidus explains, what does it mean? Chassidus explains, what does it mean? B'min nimlach ben shemeseim shel tzaddikim. Chassidus explains, it means that for what purpose? Meaning, why did God create the world? What was the purpose? B'min nimlach, with what decision did God make to create the world? Because of neshamas of tzaddikim. Meaning neshamas of Yidden, that are going to do Torah mitzvahs. Okay? So now the Medrash says like this. There's two things that were there before the world, obviously. Torah is the blueprint of the world. Hashem looked into Torah and created the world, so Torah was there first. And by the way, we're not going into this again. Now, first doesn't mean time-wise, because before creation there's no time, like we learned. It means higher level, whatever. And the neshamas are higher than the world. Okay, so the Medrash says there's two things higher than the world. Then the Medrash continues and says, which one of the two are greater? Which one of the two? Okay, neshamas and Torah are greater than world. Which of the two are greater? So the Medrash says, neshamas Yisrael are greater. Neshamas are greater than Torah. Why are neshamas greater than Torah? Because if you look into Torah, what does it say? Daber al b'nei Yisrael. Torah says, speak to the Jews. If Torah says speak to the Jews, that means the Jews are already there. You can't speak to the Jews if they're not there. So the Torah says, speak to the Jews, meaning in concept, not physically, time-wise, that the neshamas are even greater than Torah. So therefore the Medrash comes to the conclusion, the greatest thing are neshamas. Okay? Even greater than Torah. Because Torah says speak to the neshamas, which means the Shemitah are greater than Torah. Which explains, by the way, as we learned many times, when Moshe Rabbeinu came down with the Luchis, and he saw the Jews worshipping the golden calf, the eagle. So, okay, so after all is said and done, making it short and sweet, Moshe Rabbeinu is faced with a dilemma. One of the two got to go. Either Jews got to be killed for worshipping idols, or the Torah got to go to break the marriage contract. Right? So Moshe is facing the dilemma. He's coming down with the mount, from the mountain. He has Luchas in his hand. He says, okay, I got this book, and I got the Jews. One of the two got to go. So Moshe said, which one's going? Torah's going. He broke the Luchas. And the Jews stayed. Why? Because Moshe understood that Jews are greater than Torah. Right? So now the question is even stronger. If neshamas are greater than Torah, why do we need Torah? And why does Alter Rebbe say here that Torah, the garments, are even greater than the neshama? How could Torah be greater than the neshama if the neshama is greater than Torah? And if the neshama is greater than Torah in its relationship with Hashem, why do we need mitzvahs? Neshamas are greater than Torah. Let's not keep the neshama. Why do we need mitzvahs? Good question. How do you like that? Let's get out of the mitzvahs bit. Why do we need to do mitzvahs? Let's, you know, call a spade a spade. Tell God, listen, God, we got a neshama, we're connected, we don't need you. We don't need mitzvahs. So what's the answer? The answer is very basic. It depends which level of the neshama we're talking about. There is the neshama pre-body, meaning before the neshama comes into the body, or, in practical language, the level of the neshama that's above the body, and then you have a level of the neshama that comes into the body. In practical Hasidic language, the five levels of the neshama, nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida. So nefesh, ruach, neshama comes into the body, and the encompassing levels of chai, yechida are not directly in the body, they're not affected by the body. They affect the body indirectly, because they're higher than the body. So Chassidus explains like this. The neshama that's not in the body, meaning yechida shebenefesh, the pintali yid of the Jew, the essence of the Jew, is greater than Torah. But when the neshama comes into the body, in a way that it's affected by the body, then Torah is greater than the neshama. And the proof of it is a neshama in the body could become impure. The neshama in the body could sin. If the neshama sins, it becomes impure. So a neshama coming into a body, the neshama could become sin, could become impure. Torah can never become tamei. Torah can never become impure. And therefore the halacha is, somebody who's impure can study Torah, touch Torah. Torah can never become impure. Because as the Alter Rebbe is soon going to explain, Torah down here is the same level as Torah up there. Neshamas, on the other hand, down here are not on the same level as they are lamayla. So therefore the explanation is as follows. If you're talking about the essence of the neshama compared to Torah, the essence of the neshama is infinitely greater than Torah. And that level of the neshama doesn't need Torah. Therefore, the pintaliyid, the essence of the Jew, is 100% Jewish, even if they never did a mitzvah in their life. Because that level of the neshama is directly connected to Hashem. It has nothing to do with the person's actions. When you're talking about the level of the neshama that comes into the body and becomes affected by the body, concealed by the body, limited by the body, that level is much lower than Torah. So therefore, the neshama that's in the body needs to be connected to Hashem through Torah. And that's what Alter Rebbe is talking about over here. In Perek Beis, Alter Rebbe is talking about the essence of the neshama. The essence of the neshama is a part of Hashem that you don't need mitzvahs. And that's even greater than Torah. if you look at the neshama in the body, so then the garment, thought, speech, and action, which is Torah and mitzvahs, is much greater than the neshama. The neshama, even though they're only garments of the soul, but they're even greater than the soul. And that's why the neshama that's in the body needs to do mitzvahs to connect it to Hashem. You can't be in a body and say, listen, I have a neshama, I'm automatically connected to Hashem, what do I need mitzvahs for? That's good upstairs, not down here. Down here, the neshama that's in the body, it's limited and concealed, it needs mitzvahs to connect it to Hashem. And that's why it's even, that level of Torah is greater than the neshama. The neshama could become impure, and Torah can't. And now the Alter Rebbe is going to ask another basic question, top of 16. Like you wrote before in the name of the Rambam. Now the Alter Rebbe is going to ask a very basic question. How in the world can God take His infinite wisdom and put it into a finite book? How could Hashem take Torah, which is one thing with Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, and put it into, like you said, into thought, speech, and action of Torah mitzvahs? So he says on top of the page, even though Hashem is called infinite, and His greatness, there is no end. And no man can grasp Hashem at all. And not only he can't grasp Hashem, the same thing, you can't understand Hashem's will and Hashem's wisdom, because they're synonymous with Hashem. And if you can't understand Hashem, we can't understand His will. Can exceed, like it says, "Ein cheker l'sfunasi." There's no end to His understanding. Or the pasuk says, "Ha cheker alakat timsa." If you seek out God, will you find Him? Or "Kilei machshveisei machshveisech." My thoughts are not like your thoughts. So the Alter Rebbe is asking, how in the world can Hashem take His infinite wisdom and put it in a way that we understand it? A person learns Torah; they understand it. There's a very question that I'm just asking now. How can a finite mind understand the infinite? If Torah is one thing with Hashem, how, which therefore, in geometry, there have been equal equals equals whatever, equal equals. So therefore, if Hashem and His Chochmah are one, that means if you can't understand Hashem, you can't understand His Chochmah. So how is it possible that we understand Torah? And even before we see the answer of the Alter Rebbe, there's another point over here. Some of us admit it, some of us don't admit it, but many people have a problem. And some of us, what I mean, you'll hear and say what I'm saying. Most people have a problem that something they don't understand is wrong. This is their concept. I don't get it, it's wrong. It has to be wrong. Because if it's right, then I would understand it. And if I don't understand it, it got to be wrong. This is human nature. Even from people think it, except they're smart enough not to admit it. But a lot of people have a problem, like with mitzvahs. Yeah? I don't understand the mitzvah. It doesn't make sense. Or people think, the halacha doesn't make sense. You know, or what you say, teach, it doesn't make sense. And therefore, what you're really saying is, if it doesn't make sense, it's wrong. The Alter Rebbe is explaining over here the foolishness, or to use a strong word, the stupidity of that thought, thinking, is totally ridiculous. Why? You're talking about God's will and God's wisdom. The question is not why we don't understand. How is it possible to understand? That's the question. The question is not why we don't understand Torah mitzvahs. The premise is, you can't understand it because it's Hashem's wisdom. Whatever you think you understand, be happy with and shut up. But to think that if I don't understand it, it's wrong, that's even from a scientific mind, that's ridiculous. Because you can't understand infinite. You're talking about Torah, which is the Chochmah and the will of Hashem. Mitzvahs, which are the will. This is what Hashem wants, right? But I want differently. No. So there's an argument between you and God. God says, I want you to do this, and you say, I don't want to do this. Why don't you want to do it? Because it doesn't make sense to me. That's a very foolish statement. Of course it doesn't make sense. How could it make sense? You have a stupid, finite mind, a limited brain, brainless. Most people are brainless. A brainless person. How in the world do you expect to understand the infinite wisdom of Hashem? Even the most brilliant person, the most brilliant person is still a limited mind. So it's not the question, why I don't understand it. The question is, and the truth is, the miracle and the wonder is, the pella is, that we do understand anything we think we understand. That's the question. Why do you think you understand anything you think you understand if you're talking about Hashem's wisdom? So now the Rebbe really is asking this question. How could Hashem take His infinite wisdom and put it into a finite book? But what the Alter Rebbe is explaining, though, meanwhile, is that people have to understand it's impossible to understand Hashem's brain. It's impossible to understand Hashem's Torah, because Hashem's Torah is Hashem's wisdom, and Hashem and His wisdom are one. And Hashem and His will are one. So, of course, you can't understand it. But the question Alter Rebbe is asking is, so how do we understand it? What do you mean we do understand it? According to Torah, if you learn something and you understand it, you understand it. Like we gave many times the mashal. A kid goes to school in first grade, come home learning Chumash. B'reishit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. They learn the first pasuk of Chumash, they study the words, they have their homework, they get a test, they get 100 on the test. Okay? B'reishit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. They understand the Chumash beautifully. They get an Aleph plus on the report card. Now the question is, from a halachic perspective, did the kid understand the pasuk, or didn't he understand the pasuk? I'll give you an example. If a man comes over to the woman, to a woman, and gives her a ring, any condition, okay? So if the condition is met, it's good. If it's not met, it's not good, right? A guy says, you are mekudeshes to me on the condition I know the pasuk b'reishis bar lakim es hashemayim ves oretz. If he knows what the words mean, the kedushin is valid. The question is, the greatest of minds didn't begin to understand the pasuk. Not Rabbi Akiva, not Moshe Rabbeinu. You can't even understand the pasuk. It's so infinite. What's the answer? On their level, they understand it. And that's what, even though realistically, they don't understand it. So now the Rebbe is saying, how is it possible that Hashem took His infinite wisdom and put it into a finite book? So he says, Hinei alzeh amru, 5 lines in the top. Concerning this concept, the Gemara says, B'mokim shatameitzik d'losit shalak adish baruch, in a place where you find God's greatness, shamatameitzam v'sinuse, there you see His humility. Meaning, v'tzimtzim ha-kodesh baruch hu ritzeini v'chochmosei. Hashem limited and concealed His will and His chochma into the 630 mitzvahs of the Torah and their halachas. U'betziruf eisis tenach, the combinations of letters of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, and all the explanations in the Medrash Chazal, b'chdei in order, shekol neshama, b'ruach v'nefesh, shebegufa adam, tuchel asigam b'daitam. Now, the Rebbe is saying like this. We'll explain it first outside. The Alter Rebbe says, this itself is the greatness of God. The greatness of God, the Gemara says, where you see His humility. What does that mean? The greatness of Hashem is that He took His infinite wisdom, put it into a finite book that a finite mind could understand it, while at the same time it remains infinite. And this is only Hashem's greatness. Only Hashem could take infinite, combine it with finite, and it remains infinite. That's what Torah is all about. And he says, this is what Chazal say, in the place where you find God's greatness, there you find His humility, meaning the greatness of Hashem, to be able to limit His infinite wisdom in a way that Torah says it's finite and you understand it. And at the same time you don't. That means even though somebody will learn and beginning Hashem created heaven and earth, and they'll understand it. The truth is, that is the way Hashem limited himself in a finite way that you can understand it, but at the same time, it's really infinite. And therefore, by the way, the same thing is with mitzvahs. Chassidus explains, even the mitzvahs that we understand, mishpatim, the logical mitzvahs, it's only that Hashem allowed us to have some understanding of it. The reason of why Hashem gave even the logical mitzvahs has nothing to do with the logic that we think. Change the tune, I told you. You have to, in other words, you have what we understand is what we really don't understand. To give you an example, a very logical mitzvah in the Torah is honor your father and mother. Yeah, such a mitzvah in the Torah, believe it or not, kids don't know of it. But there's a mitzvah in the Torah called honor your father and mother. Now, somebody asks you, I mean, even a Havdalah guy will understand. Listen, you have to honor your father and mother. I mean, after a certain age, not under a certain age. After a certain age, you have to honor your father and mother. After post-teenage, that's when you can honor your father and mother. So they'll tell you why. Listen, they brought you into the world, and they feed you, and they got up in the middle of the night for you, and, you know, whatever, they support you. So you need to honor your father and mother. It's a very logical mitzvah. The reality is, that's not the reason of Kibbutz Avayim. There's nothing to do with that. Hashem gives us an opinion, an opportunity to understand it. Not to steal. The Torah says, it's a very logical mitzvah. It's not mine. Why should it give me a right to take it? That's logic. That's not Hashem's logic. The reason why Hashem says don't steal has nothing to do with the logic the way we understand it. And to give you a simple example, a parent will talk to a baby and tell the baby, let's say, put on your coat. Californians don't know what that means, but let's say you go to New York. Put on your coat. So in the kid's mind, even if they finally agree to it, they'll understand because I don't want to be cold. That's not the real reason why the parents don't want them to wear a coat. They want to wear a coat, you shouldn't get sick. But that the kid can't understand. The kid understands it's not going to be cold. Okay? A parent tells a kid, do well in school. Kid will say, yeah, because then you get a good report card. It's not the reason why, even from the parent's perspective, it's not the reason why the parents want the kid to do good in school. It's a much deeper reason than the kid can even understand. Infinitely more so by Hashem. Hashem says, don't steal. Therefore, halacha says, even when logically you should be able to steal, like we said millions of times, the classic example, Robin Hood. When Robin Hood says you can steal from the rich to give to the poor, which is seichel, and he's a hero in folklore, but that, according to Torah, he's a ganef. According to Torah, Robin Hood was a bad guy, because he stole. It's one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei nech. It was chayiv misa. He had to get killed for stealing. Robin Hood, it was obligated by court to get killed. Even though in Seichel, he did a good thing. He stole money from the sheriff of Nottingham to give back to the poor people that he himself stole from. But in Torah doesn't say don't steal because it's not my money, so it's not his money, therefore give it back to the people he took it from. Torah says an absolute statement. Don't steal, period. It has nothing to do with what you think. Torah says, honor your father and mother, has absolutely nothing to do with it. If they gave you away for adoption at birth, or before you're born, they gave you away already. They never supported you, they never fed you, they never looked at you, they don't even know you exist, you don't even know they exist, and 50 years later you find out, hey, by the way, these are my parents. Yeah? So there's no logic in Seichel that you have to honor them. Comes along Torah and says, I'm not telling you honor your parents because they raised you. Torah says an absolute statement. Kabbalah Sevicha Semecha. The Eibishter Seichel of Kabbalah Sevicha Semecha is infinitely greater than our Seichel. We can't even begin to understand why Hashem says Kabbalah Sevicha Semecha. Because anything we understand is already limited.
So why does it think that the reward of that is long days, long years?
Why certain mitzvahs, the Torah says the reward, and so it's a completely exercise of Chazal tell us. It's a completely logical thing. Why the Torah says, this mitzvah you get this reward, that mitzvah you get this, is totally irrational. The Alter Rebbe later on in Tanya gives an example in the reverse. The punishment for Shabbos is skila, right? A person who's openly mechal Shabbos has a din of a goy, right? A person's mechal Shabbos, you can't count it for a minyan, he can't shecht, he can't cook, he can't touch your wine. Somebody who's openly, not today, but as a person who knows all about Shabbos and desecrates Shabbos publicly, has a din of a goy, right? Yet, to save a life, you desecrate Shabbos, correct? A person who commits adultery does not have a din of a goy. Person commits adultery does not have a din like a goy. You can give him aliyahs, you can count him for a minyan, you can do whatever you want. Yet, for adultery you have to give up your life and not desecrate the aveda. So it doesn't make sense. Shabbos is so strict it makes you a goy. Yet you desecrate Shabbos to save a life. Adultery doesn't make you like a goy. It's not equal to all aveiras, and yet you have to give. So the whole thing doesn't make sense. In the reward process, it's the same thing. The Torah says you send away a mother bird, that was such a hard mitzvah. You send away the mother bird and take the eggs, the chickens, you live long. Nothing to do with the... There are a lot of mitzvahs are much harder to do. Building a sukkah is much harder than shooing away a mother bird. I don't know how many of you built sukkahs, but I don't either. But, you know, it's much harder. Okay.